Someone who has persistent seizures that last more than 24 hours, despite treatment, is in super refractory status epilepticus. The condition is rare, but often results in death or disability. Bringing someone out of status usually includes treatment with anti-seizure medications and anesthetics, but other therapies are beginning to gain attention, and one of those is the ketogenic diet. A recent paper in Neurology Clinical Practice offers practical considerations for the use of the ketogenic diet in patients with super refractory status epilepticus. ILAE spoke with two of the paper's authors, dietitian Neha Kaul and epileptologist Joshua Lang.
So I'm Neha Kaul, senior dietitian at the Alfred Hospital and researcher in the Central Clinical School Department of Neurosciences at Monash University. So the reason the paper came about is we are seeing an increase in the number of centres using ketogenic diet as a treatment for adults in super refractory status epilepticus. And I think as a community of dietitians, intensivists, neurologists, we have been communicating with each other to try and find advice to guide the treatment. So in our team, we are now more commonly using the diet in these patients, which do have a very difficult to treat condition. And we decided to put this paper together to really guide some of the practical considerations for other centres and to guide their practice.
What's the evidence base for using the ketogenic diet in this group of patients?
So the first publication looking at the use of ketogenic diet to treat super refractory status dates back to 2008. And since then, there's been about a dozen publications using the diet to treat adults specifically. These studies are mainly small in nature and retrospective. And they're not controlled for other treatments that patients may receive when being treated for super refractory status epilepticus. However, in saying that, a lot of the studies don't show any major harm to the patients when the diet was administered. And in majority of the patients, the status resolved within about a week of starting the diet. When we pulled the data looking at all the cases that have been reported, 41 out of 47 patients responded to the diet. So I think that's a very convincing number. However, we do need to think about the level of evidence and having more controlled studies to really determine how effective the diet is.
And I'm Joshua Lang, a neurologist and epileptologist from the Alfred Hospital, as well as Peninsula Health in Melbourne. And I also do clinical research in the form of a PhD at Monash University Department of Neurosciences. In the field of refractory and super refractory epilepsy, status epilepticus, we don't have very high level evidence for any therapies. So once we have a patient who has failed the first round of anesthetic treatment and upon wakening is still in status epilepticus, then this is the stage that we consider that the patient is in super refractory status epilepticus, and then we start to think about alternative therapies at this point. And I think in terms of patient selection, we think of other contributing factors that we may expect a patient to have a more prolonged course in hospital. So patients that have acute neurological insults, such as autoimmune encephalitis or a cerebral infection or a traumatic brain injury. These are the sorts of patients that we know and expect will have pretty resistant seizures and that we may need to turn to other therapies, not just anticonvulsants or anti-seizure medications, to be able to control the status. So it's really at that point where we think about the ketogenic diet, and that's asking our neurodietitians to help us out with arranging this and really monitoring this over time. with successive medications and anesthetics, the common property of all those medications are sedation, and the benefit of the ketogenic diet is it's non-sedative, and to have a treatment that is non-sedative when you're aiming to wake a patient up out of anesthetic, and having the confidence that therapy can continue whilst you're waking up the patient is also quite reassuring.
What sort of contraindications are, would these be specific medications that the patient has or has been given, or metabolic issues, or what would those be?
The main contraindications for ketogenic diet are metabolic disorders, so any disorders relating to impaired fatty acid oxidation is the key one. Any diets that require patients to have a high carbohydrate intake as well would be a contraindication. Looking at the medications, the first thing to consider is the use of propofol. So propofol is a commonly used anesthetic agent to treat status epilepticus. However, when it's used in conjunction with a ketogenic diet, it can increase the risk of propofol syndrome, which can be fatal. So again, as I mentioned before about screening the patients for contraindications, often the first thing will be around stopping the propofol infusion and making a decision to switch to an alternative agent.
What are the steps to initiating the diet in someone who's in super refractory status?
It does take a team approach. So it's a commitment to the treatment from the neurologist, the dietitian, and the intensive care unit working together to make sure that the diet is administered correctly and safely. So usually it will start with the neurologist deciding that ketogenic diet is the next treatment that should be started. And this will be discussed with the intensive care team and the dietitian. The dietitian will screen the patient for any contraindications or concerns as to whether the patient should or shouldn't proceed to starting the diet. The dietitian will then make a ketogenic diet prescription based on the patient's needs, and then communicate this back with the intensive care unit team, making sure that the doctors, nurses, and the pharmacists have all been involved in reviewing the treatment plan. Then the next step is monitoring. So we'll have the, again, the neurologist and the ICU team and the dietitian all reviewing the aspects of the diet and other treatments to make sure that the diet's being administered correctly and it's achieving a therapeutic level as quickly as possible.
When do you decide to stop the treatment?
So this really varies from patient to patient. It can take between 24 to 48 hours for the diet to become into a therapeutic range. So we need to be carefully monitoring the clinical situation, reviewing the tolerance of the diet, and reviewing the concurrent treatments that the patient's also receiving. In our centre, usually we'll reassess at that 2-week mark to see whether the patient is improving or not. We'll be consulting with the neurologist as well around how the patient is progressing. If we think the patient has responded, then we'll aim to continue the diet for as long as possible. Even after the patient's recovered, we may switch them onto an oral version of the diet, such as ketogenic diet or modified Atkins diet. But if the patient is having complications or side effects of the diet, or we may choose to stop the diet earlier.
What are the challenges to making this if not a standard option, just something that's on the radar of people? It doesn't seem like, I mean, the ketogenic diet itself has been around for a century, right? But it's not the most accepted means of treatment for epilepsy. And is it sort of the same? Are you climbing the same hill with status epilepticus, where you kind of have to convince people that it's an option, or are there other logistical issues, or, you know, what are the challenges from each of your points of view?
Yeah, I'll just start off briefly. I think from a from an epilepsy perspective, again, once we get to a situation of super refractory status epilepticus, that we know that successive anti-seizure medications are not really that effective. And again, usually a lot of the conditions that these patients have concurrently quite often are inflammatory conditions, and also the theory of non-convulsive seizures being related to a metabolic crisis within the brain as well, that these kind of concurrent ailments that the patient may have, we believe that the ketogenic may also help to treat at the same time. So from our perspective, further successive anti-seizure medications, there's not a lot of evidence for, and it's really using the ketogenic diet also as an adjunctive for as an anti-inflammatory type treatment too. And I guess in terms of making the decision, I think we're very lucky to have a large and experienced team and headed with Neha, who does a lot of research with the ketogenic diet, that we feel quite comfortable to do so. But I guess we have that comfort from our experience so far, and that's really what we're hoping to aim with this paper, is to help educate others that it is a safe and can be quite an effective treatment.
So I would agree with a lot of the things that Josh has said. I think it does come down to the confidence of the team in administering the diet when they haven't had previous experience, and knowing what the side effects are to look out for, how to adjust the diet prescription, how to review all the medications. It does take a bit of practice. So there is a big learning curve in the beginning. I think back to the first couple of patients that we treated, And now we feel much more comfortable, and more people have been involved in developing this paper, but also our own local guideline. And we're probably more likely to start the diet much earlier in the treatment course, which is, I think, something to important also to consider. So it's not the last treatment option that we should be considering. We're now thinking about it much earlier in the patient's treatment course. We're very happy to be contacted as well for advice on these patients. So we regularly provide advice to other centres, both for epilepsy management, but specifically for ketogenic diet management. So I would encourage intensivists, neurologists, dietitians to contact other centres that are more familiar with using the diet if they need advice.
Links to the neurology article and more information on the ketogenic diet can be found in the transcript of this podcast, available at ilae.org/epigraph. Thanks for listening.